The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Relation Slips with Dr. Bobby Sommer and Lori Lynn Mann. Both of your hosts are looking at relationships from opposite sides. Dr. Bobby Sommer has been married for over 50 years, while Lori Lynn Mann is involved in the dating world. Through their experiences, that of their amazing guests, and you, will show how to live through your spirit and with your ego. Now, here is Dr. Bobby and Lori.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
And that was the 1967 clip of Cool Hand Luke. Paul Newman starred in it. And, you know, communication is really an evergreen problem in relationships becoming relation slips. And that's what we're going to talk about today on our program. Now, Bobby, you're the queen of words.
Absolutely.
You quiz me all the time about prefixes and root words. I share them with friends and family. It's good party banter. But the word communicate has special meaning.
It does. If we look at the origin of how it started, the prefix communi, what other words can we make out of that? Communion, community, it means coming together. And the suffix cation has to do with taking responsibility. So quite literally, you might say that the word communication means to take responsibility for having come together. And it's a fairly simple concept. And notice how when things are simple, they're not always easy. Simple does not mean it's not complex. It can be simple but complex in the execution of how we do, in fact, communicate. Having done couples communication and couples relationships and slips together, I find that communication is the backdrop upon which all the relationships play out. And most likely, people think they're communicating, but in reality, they're not.
No, definitely not. There's so much confusion about what's being said, what's not being said. And we have different types of communication. We're actually going to talk today about four different types of communications or styles.
Absolutely.
So before we go into that, I want to tell you about this really cool study. It's called the Moravian Communication Study. Bobby and I were talking about it, how this is so funny about today's day and age with communication and technology. But really, this is a cool study from 1967 about how words were recorded, 9 words, with the meaning that conveyed liking, like the words honey, dear, and thanks, and 3 conveying neutrality, maybe, really, and oh. 3 words conveying dislike, like don't, brute, and terrible. So these words were spoken in this study with different tonalities, and subjects were asked to guess the emotions behind the words as spoken. Now, the experiment finding was that tone carried more meaning than the individual words themselves. So tone is something to pay attention to in communication. Without it, we're a little bit lost. But that was the first study. There's right. Another study to this. The second study is where subjects were actually asked to listen to a recording of a female saying the single word maybe in 3 tones of voice to convey liking, neutrality, and disliking. So think of it as maybe. Maybe. Yeah. There's so many different ways you can say it, right? So these subjects were shown photos of female faces at the same time of speaking these words. And just the photos alone actually conveyed more of a semblance to the meaning they were able to more accurately guess the emotions of the recorded voices by the photos. So photos get a more accurate response than voice by a ratio of, hear this, 3-2. So what does that mean?
That's a lot.
That means that the communication is transpired verbally, non-verbally, and through tonality, but really the visual is what's important. So why aren't we all using FaceTime on our iPhones?
Yes, exactly.
Why aren't we Skyping all of our business calls?
And it shows so distinctly why it's almost impossible to conduct a relationship based upon texting or emails only or predominantly, because we're missing tone. For example, if I were to say to you, of course I love you, that doesn't sound much like, of course I love you. So the tone is what I sometimes call the mega message. It conveys the real, honest truth of the communication.
Let me give you a very famous saying. Mary had a little lamb. 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 Mary had a little lamb.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, where do you put the accent on the correct syllable, right? And it does make such a difference while we're communicating, because the truth is, as Moravian study shows us, very little of the mega communications are actually come out in the words we choose. Exactly. The words mean very little, particularly A, when we're under stress, B, if we feel rushed, or C, if what we're communicating is very important to us and we have a sense that maybe we can't communicate it effectively. So when that's going on, it doesn't much matter what the words are per se. It matters the delivery and the tone. So that's mm-hmm. what's important.
Right. So when couples come to couples therapy, it's, oh, he doesn't hear me. He doesn't get it. She's not listening. We have a failure to communicate. Communication is really a problem that brings people to therapy. It brings out woes and distress and getting our message across to our loved one or in a community setting, a business relationship or otherwise. So this is really important stuff. I think a lot of listeners today are going to relate to what we have to say. So make sure you tweet us at @orelationslips or send us a Facebook message about your stories about communication, because this is something that everybody can relate to. And, you know, there's a famous saying that Bobby has told me about this really this communication game not really being about a science.
It's not. It's an art.
Yes.
And it's an art that's passed on in families. And like all artistry, sometimes it's done well and sometimes you wouldn't want to hang it on your wall. So we have learned to communicate, unfortunately, sometimes in a very bad atmosphere in a family. But once we've learned it, we have a thing called a habit. And once we've learned a habit, it's almost impossible to change that unless we become really consciously aware of this is not what I wish to communicate. So we'll talk about today how important it is as couples start to say to themselves, how important is it to me to make sure I make my message clear to my mate in a manner that they can actually arrive at some meaning for them, that they can accept. You know, we have to give information to people in digestible form. If I think my mate cannot digest what I'm about to say, I better preface it with, hey, this may be hard for you to hear, and I'm not saying this because I'm attempting to hurt you. And I really feel the need to tell you this is exactly what's going on. So give people a heads up. Give a preference. And we'll see after a while another 3 or 4 examples of why prefacing is so important.
Exactly. Yeah, the preface to the delivery to prepare someone. Because really what's happening is people are changing their listening to the way that they think you're going to respond.
Yes. And we'll talk after a while about the very big difference between listening, which is done with our ears, and I mean, listening, if it's done with our brain, and hearing, which is done with our ears. We hear with our ears. Way back when, we all learned some stuff about anatomy. Remember that? We had the little bones inside the ear called the hammer, the anvil, the stirrup, and all that stuff. And we learned about the tympanic membrane, a big drum that vibrates. So we know that the ear is the organ that helps us actually hear something. But all the ear can hear is sound. And sound by itself is pretty meaningless unless there is meaning attached. That's where the brain comes in. The brain interprets the sound. It goes, oh, this must mean that. And it assigns meaning.
Exactly.
Sometimes meanings are what we mean to say, and sometimes they're not.
Right. And that's what we're here to talk about. Remember, the show is called Relation Slips because relationships often become slips based on a lot of common personalities that everyone experiences, and communication is the theme of today's show. So we're really excited to talk about this because everybody can relate. We're going to talk about scientific study, psychological jargon, but we're going to put it in layman's terms because remember, this show is about ego and spirit, two terms that Dr. Bobby and I have coined for the sake of this program that we're really excited to bring to the forefront of psychology and therapy as we know it. So we're going to talk about the four styles of communication, which are talked about in classrooms across America. I remember studying this in my grad school days.
Absolutely.
At UCLA.
Yes.
And these four types are passive communication, aggressive communication, passive-aggressive communication, and assertive communication. So when we think about these four types of communication, which we're going to go into depth after the break, we're going to think about it from the lens of ego and spirit. Because where are you with your ego and spirit? Are you vigilant and guarded? Are you open? Are you fragile? Are you vulnerable? If you think about your state of mind before you've said something to a spouse, loved one, business partner, friend, it really can change the tonality, the meaning, and the way you can hear the message based on where you are in your inner state.
That's very true. And I think before we even start to address the interpersonal communication, we need to first address what I call the intrapsychic. It's a communication we have with ourselves all the time. I oftentimes ask people, do you talk to yourself? Well, the truth is, do we ever shut up?
Isn't that the truth?
We talk to ourselves in every state of consciousness. When I'm wide awake and I'm thinking to myself, that's called thinking. So when we think, we're talking to ourselves. See, when I said to you, do you talk to yourself? Part of your brain said, I suppose I do. Of course we talk to ourselves. Do we talk to ourselves when we're sleeping? What's that called? Dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Driving our automobiles by ourselves. Really good time to talk to ourselves. Out loud sometimes.
Of course. I do it all the time. Some people think I'm crazy from the side mirror, I'm telling you.
And particularly if we're really befuddled about something. Where did I put those keys? Where did I have them last? Where's the last time I saw those silly things? And so we go back to the whole thing. And sometimes I think we're trying to complete the language loop. I think we really want our ear to hear our voice say, let's see, my last time I saw the keys was, and we're almost like really making sure all of our channels are working because we're trying hard to recall where we put the silly keys.
There's this thing in the brain called neuropathways, mm-hmm. and they become really ingrained when we have habits. So if you have a habit of your style of communication or habit in your action or behavior, it becomes more ingrained in that neural pathway. So think about digging a stick in the mud and then making it deeper and deeper. It's easier for water to travel in and out or for an ant to travel that highway. When we create habits, they're easier to follow, but they're harder to break. So the first step is to learn how to communicate properly, to try it even when it's uncomfortable, and to try it again because it's going to become easier.
Absolutely.
We're about giving you the tools.
Yeah. And you know what? We're going to talk a lot about after a while when we're engaged in any kind of a discussion, particularly if we're in a heated debate about something, and particularly with a person that we have a loving relationship. We are so pressed to be sure we make our point. And of course, the more emotional we get, the harder it is to truly be clear on our communications.
So like we've talked about on our previous shows, the spirit and ego state, we want to be in that middle state, that third eye, that balanced energy, animated spirit and vital ego, where we are clear-headed, where we can give the clear message and we're not frazzled or distracted by underlying emotion. He said, she said, I want to win this battle, because it's not a battle.
Exactly. And then we have to ask ourselves, do I want to win the battle at the cost of the war? In other words, am I making a point to the person that I have my significant relationship with? I either am going to say, I'm going to make my point if it's the last thing I do, and I'm going to win this one. Well, you make it to win that, but guess what? You may have lost the whole entire war because it may end the relationship.
Exactly. So as we get ready to go to break, I want you to tweet us at OOH Relationslips or go to Facebook, facebook.com/relationshipsradioshow. Tell us about those supposed quote unquote battles or wars that you've had with your loved one or with your own monkey chatter in your brain when you're trying to come to grips with your own state of communication. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Relation Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guest today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relation Slips.
Welcome back. We're right in the middle of talking about this important thing called communications. How do we let ourselves have our thoughts conveyed to another human being in such a manner that we can get our point across to in a manner that they can receive it? The people on the receiving end, if they can't get it, we're wasting our time.
Being effective.
Exactly. So we're going to talk now about what are the basic ways that we all communicate. There's four basic ways that are recognized by most linguists, most communicators, most psychologists. So the first one we're going to talk about is, of course, the passive communication. And let me give you some mundane examples of how, to give you a sense of the, how the four different styles would sound. And then we'll go into each of these styles as to how it relates to the way in which we're looking at through our lens, which is the ego relating with the spirit. And then finally, the third part, we'll talk about how the professionals give us a look at what how important these states really are. So let's suppose I'm a passive person. And I've probably learned it through my families over the years. I've learned that for me, it's the best way I can be. So passive people go to a restaurant. They order something medium rare. It comes well done. Guess what the passive person does? Right. They eat it. And the waiter says, well, how's your meal? They say, oh, fine. And so when they leave the restaurant, they leave saying to themselves, I should have, I should have, I should have. I wish I had. Too bad. Why did I sit there? I really get mad at myself when I do that. Next time I'm going to. So basically we know the anger is vented and pushed in where? Internally.
Somewhere in your body. It
yes.
Lingers.
Yes. And it gets stuck in the body. Literally gets stuck in our physical body. So passive people have a less expressed way of when they're really wanting to say something. They don't know how to say it. So they tend to say nothing. So passive people end up being angry with themselves because they haven't expressed fully what they want to say. Now we go to the far opposite way. And people aren't aggressive. At the very other opposite pole, we have the aggressive person, the kind we all hate to be around. The person that goes to the restaurant, sits down, orders their meal a certain way. It comes a different way. What is the matter with these people? Hey, waiter, yell you bozo, get over here. And guess how the rest of us at the table are feeling? We're all cringing because it's so embarrassing. And we've all had this happen. With all of us have had good family members or associates that get really angry. And the anger there is not turned inward at all. It's turned outward. And it's diffused anger to the whole world. I don't care who's around here. I don't care who hears me. I'm going to say what I have to say no matter what. So these are people who are going to get their anger outward. And they don't care how it comes out at all. So they're not going to be the people who are able to get their point across because either A, they scare people away and people be just shy away from them, or get another really aggressive person and they'll fight them. So we don't ever get our communications taken nicely with that. After a while, we will come back and look at some good times to be passive and a few times that there are good times to be aggressive. So now we're going to go to the next one, which is called the passive aggressive, my favorite state. Person goes to a restaurant. They're what we call passive aggressive, kind of a hybrid state. My grandmother would say it's a wolf in a sheep's clothing. They look as if they're passive. They begin by acting passive, but basically they're pretty aggressive. So they say, I'd like my steak a certain way. It comes a different way. The waiter says, oh, how's your meal? The passive aggressive says, I've had better. Oh, I'm so terribly sorry. If only I'd known. How about I bring you another meal? Oh, no, that's all right. Don't bother. I'll just eat it the way it is. So they will do nothing to correct the situation. No. And when they leave the restaurant, they back over the flower beds. I don't get angry. I just get
even.
Yeah. And maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually I'm going to get you if it's the last thing I do.
You hear people say, oh, no big deal. I'll just take it to my grave.
Absolutely. And this is a particularly scary communication style that we oftentimes see in families. And it's what I call toxic communication.
Absolutely.
Because we don't really know where someone stands. And we were talking a while ago about the example you gave, which I loved, of the family that gets together for a big vacation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody knows this story, right? You go to the lake house for a week. You've got grandma, mom and dad, the children.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren. And there's a bunch of group activities planned. And you say, okay, we're all going to go for a hike. And you say, the daughter or son says to mom, the matriarch, the grandmother, okay, mom, come on, let's go for a hike.
Yeah, we'll make it easy and simple. It won't be a hard hike. And we have it all planned out. And it'll be a fun thing for you, too.
Oh, yeah. And she says, oh, no, go without me. I'm in pain. I'll just sit here alone. No big deal.
By myself.
I'll do the dishes by myself.
With my arthritic hands, but that's okay.
So she's saying it's okay. And then she's also saying this passive aggressive tone and sentence that says, I'll be alone by myself without company and therefore unhappy and not fulfilled while you enjoy yourself. So you go do that.
So this is so obviously a guilt trip. And it's by design. It's intentional. These people sometimes have learned that the only way they can get what they want is by manipulation. Manipulation means pulled by hand. So, as my grandma would say, they're pulling the wool where? Right over our eyes. They're trying to say one thing, and they really mean something else. You know, I think the indigenous people had the best term for it, speak it with forked tongue. They're saying, no, it's okay. No, really, go have a good time. You don't want me. I'll just slow you down. I'll just sit here alone with my anguish and my pain, but that's okay. You go have fun.
So what does it do to the rest of the family? They go on the hike feeling guilty. It changes the tone of the event. They become more of a sour mood.
It changes the ions in the air.
It certainly does. That's when you can feel awkwardness, tension. It's in the air. It started an hour ago with a discussion at breakfast by the mother. So this is a rippling effect. You see it in families, and people just seem frustrated, tense. They're not sure why. Well, it could very well be that sly, manipulative, passive-aggressive behavior. And guess what? It creates a domino effect in families.
Yes, sure it does.
It creates a whole lot of tension that you can cut with a knife.
And that's where we had the expression, you could cut it with a knife.
Right. It's in the air.
Yeah. And later on, we'll talk about what part of our body picks up that tension. And it happens to be our skin. We say things like, that just makes my skin crawl. She really gets under my skin when she says things like that. So we are at the effect of all the words. You know, sticks and stones can hurt us, and they can break bones. So very important to realize now, we've talked about the style of communication called passive. We've talked about aggressive. We've talked about passive-aggressive. And in a few moments, we'll come back and see how this fits in with our template of the spirit and the ego. But now let's talk about the last, the final, and ta-da, the ideal state to be in, which is the assertive communicator. The assertive people say what they mean, and they mean what they say. The tone matches the words, and the words match the tone. They're not split. So the assertive person goes to the restaurant. They order this certain way, comes a different way. They call the waiter over using tact and skill.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Waiter, yes, thank you. Will you have a moment? Thanks a lot. You know, I ordered this steak medium rare. I see it's come well done, and I would like another meal. 9 times out of 10, that does it. Now, will you be inconvenienced to wait? Yes, you will. So assertive people usually get what they want, but maybe not at the exact moment. But here's the catch. Let's suppose you have an aggressive waiter who says to you, hey, what do you mean? That steak is medium rare. What's your problem, lady? The assertive person takes a deep breath and says, no problem. I've had a class. I understand now.
I listened to this one show called Relation Slips.
Yeah, exactly. So now I know how to handle this. So they say to themselves, okay, I always have 4 different ways I can handle this. Say nothing, be passive. Be passive aggressive and come back with a very snide, nasty remark. Or I could be aggressive and say, well, lot you know. But maybe I'd like to come back and be assertive. If I am, I'll say, oh, I understand what you're saying. For you, it's medium rare. For me, it is well done. Now, we've done a thing called separating the issues. I understand you see it this way. I see it another. We have a difference of opinion here. So they stay with their whole concept of, and, not but, and I would like another meal. The reason we say and instead of but is if I say, yes, I like another meal, but I can wait. Mm-mm. Then you diminish your power. The second I say, Lori, I like your idea, but Lori, your idea is terrific. However,
it takes away the credibility. It takes away the meaning of the very first phrase.
Always.
It basically deletes it. It's like a giant eraser.
That's it negates what, it.
But is an eraser.
Oh, I like that.
Sometimes people wish their butts were erasers, but that's a different topic, a different show. I'm talking about something separate here.
That's body dysmorphia. That's different. So those are the 4 styles we'll be talking about off and on. So when we come back, we'll be talking more about how this now fits with our template of spirit and ego. Would you want to quickly run past that real fast?
So don't forget, spirit, we have the left and the right. We have the anxious energy spirit where we're fragmented. We have the opposite side where we're apathetic. We don't care as much. We're loosey-goosey. It's more about depleted energy rather than giving energy. The middle state of the spirit is where we're animated, we have energy, we're focused, we're clear-headed. So when you think about the 4 types of communication, where is your spirit? Where is your energy? Where are you these days before you utter those words? The second part is, where is my ego state right now? Should I say it right now? Am I feeling vulnerable and therefore I'm fragile, maybe defensive?
So maybe this is not my best time to say it.
Maybe not the best time. Or am I on the other side? Am I vigilant? Am I guarded? Is this going to be really an offensive undertaking? The middle state is the state we want to be in, folks, the ego that is vital, mature, rational, clear-headed. So when we are speaking to each other, we want to ask ourselves 3 questions. 1, does it need to be said by me? Or I'm sorry, 1, does it need to be said?
Period.
2, does it need to be said by me? 3, does it need to be said by me right now? We're going to talk about that right after the break. So go ahead and tweet us, @RelationSlips, Facebook.com, Relationships Radio Show, and we'll talk to you then.
Hold that thought.
Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
News. Opinion.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Relation Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guest today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relation Slips.
Welcome back. We're here talking on our show Relation Slips about certain scenarios that will give way to different types of communication styles. Now, you may have one type of communication style in a restaurant. We were just talking about the restaurant scene of, does your steak come the way you ordered it? Was your meal prepared the way you requested? And then how do you act? So you can look around at any restaurant scene and watch this. There's major social psychology at work in a restaurant.
Played out all the time.
All the time. So what we were just speaking about before the break is that there's one way you can act in a scenario, which is the passive way. You could be the passive communicator where you do not assert yourself and you speak softly. You're very apologetic. When we talk about ego and spirit, which is what we were just talking about before the break, if you're just tuning in, is that spirit and ego are at a certain state to account for that passivity. So if we think about the ends of the spectrum, a passive person has the apathetic spirit, right? We really are just depleted. Okay, fine. I don't care. Whatever. Give me the food however you cooked it, even though I requested it a certain way. They're also very vulnerable. So you're on that right side of the spectrum of ego being vulnerable, spirit being apathetic. The other example of the different type of communication of aggressive, where would our ego and spirit be? Well, we're most likely guarded and we're aggressive. So we are that ardent spirit state, and we're the vigilant ego on guard. Where would our ego and spirit be in the passive-aggressive one? Now, this is the tricky one.
Yep, it is.
This is the trickster. This is the manipulator. This is the Oscar-winning acting performance as we know it. Let me tell you why. The passive-aggressive person plays, acts, seems to start off as very apathetic.
Very yes. Passive.
Guess what? It's just a guise. Uh-huh. It's a guise. They're wearing a secret cape. This cape says, oh, I'm apathetic. I'm going to take on this role.
That's the sheep.
Oh, disguise. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The disguise. Guess what? This is planned. This is premeditated. So when you start thinking about your passive aggressive friends, after the show, you might start to think, oh, my goodness, they're passive aggressive and they are premeditated.
This was intentional.
This is intentional. Absolutely. So you start off being apathetic in your acting abilities, but really you're chomping at the bit. You are in the ardent spirit state, chomping at the bit, ready to be on guard, ready to fight, meaning vigilant ego. So remember the spectrum, and please go to our Facebook and Twitter pages to follow along with this visual of ardent, animated, apathetic spirit or vigilant, vital, vulnerable ego. And it really explains things. So when it comes to aggressive behavior, we have one way. We have a passive aggressive is another. Passive is a whole nother ball of wax when it comes to ego and spirit. But what about assertive communicators? Now, that's really, you know, when we're talking about this show being a toolbox for people to go into, open the box, take out tools from the show, I want you to really think about that middle state of spirit and ego, which we're going to continue to drive home, which is being in that animated spirit energy and being in that vital, mature, rational mind of the ego is where you're going to communicate best.
And how do we get there? We get there by becoming consciously aware. How do I want to communicate this? What do I really want to say here?
Exactly.
How important is it to me that I can make my message clear to this person and they can receive it? Again, you must give information that people can take in digestible form. They can't hear it. They can't take it. They're not going to be able to respond to it.
Exactly. Exactly. So assertive communication has to do with being centered before you go into that business meeting.
Exactly. And one of the best ways I found to really move from being an aggressive or passive-aggressive state into a more more foot-forward assertive state is to say to myself, excuse me, you know, let me start again. I don't like the way I sounded there. My tone was a little on the accusatory style. What I really meant to say was, and you can start again. The best way to correct your own behavior is to have your ear hear your lips tell yourself, start again.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You can apologize and say, you know what? Do over. Let's start this again. I'm sorry. I was in the wrong place. I was distracted earlier. I came across in a way, I just heard that come out of my lips, and that's not what I meant. Let me rephrase that. Do you think the person listening is going to say, nope, sorry, you're not allowed to do it over?
Well, the person listening is like, what? Wow. They rarely hear people say that.
Right.
Because we try to act like it didn't happen. We try to slip past it like maybe they won't notice. Oh, well, yeah, they are going to notice.
I think the trick to communication is being open and honest about what is being said. So it's okay to call attention to the elephant in the room.
Right.
I think you notice this all the time on first dates, in visits with the in-laws, in uncomfortable conversations, there often is that elephant in the room. So what's so wrong to call it out?
Exactly. And what's so wrong with saying to yourself, okay, I don't want to be in this state with this person. I want to be much more assertive. How do I get my spirit to be much, much more focused? My energy is all scattered here. So taking a deep breath, admitting by saying, you know what? I don't like the way that came out. Let me say it again. What I really wanted to say was, when this happened, I felt. What's important about saying I felt rather than saying, when this happened, it's because, Lori, what you said, what was wrong with that? I say, Lori, what you said.
It's so accusatory, the person becomes on guard, meaning vigilant ego, the left side spectrum
exactly.
of the ego.
I automatically invite you, I push you into that place by saying, what, me? No, actually, you're the one that started. And then we get into a thing called dispute and argument. Well, I have a favorite saying, never argue with anybody over the age of two. Because you're more than likely going to lose. I'm not saying we can't have a point of departure. We cannot have a debate about something, a difference of opinion, of course. But arguing only for children, and I mean small children. So one of the best ways to move ourselves into the state where our ego is vital and our spirit is animated is by recognizing, I don't like the way I'm doing this. Taking responsibility for having come together, which is the definition of communication.
Absolutely. Coming together, commune.
Yeah. And stopping myself and saying, you know what? I screwed that up. Let me start again. What I really wanted to say is, when this happened, I felt. And I'm not saying that you made me feel this way. I'm saying I responded that way. And what I'd like us to do is start again. You can ask for King's X overs. We can start again.
And there's nothing wrong with that, like we said. And, you know, when we talk about these states, I mean, there's a time and place for everything, right?
Right, absolutely.
So while we've said on this program, you want to be in the middle state, the animated spirit and the vital ego before you speak, before you act, before you do, you have the most clear, concise, and effective communication. Sometimes passive communication comes to be more appropriate in a certain situation. That sounds crazy coming out of my mouth because I'm all about the assertive type.
Exactly.
But there are certain times where these are appropriate.
For example, when you're driving down the freeway here in California or wherever we are, and the CHP pulls you over, is that the time to show this gentleman how assertive you can be by saying, my good man, do you realize how sterling my driving record really is? I frankly don't think he or she much cares.
No, and you may want to say that. There is a desire because you're on guard, and that's your ego state.
All of a sudden, there you are in that guarded, vigilant state. What have I done wrong? Oh, my gosh. And always the officer seems to say, do you know why I pulled you over? They want to see how aware are you.
Right.
And sometimes I'll say, the times I have been pulled over, the few times I have, thank God, not too many times. But I'll say, you know what? My guess is I was speeding because I know I didn't run a light. Or I try to give an honest answer to what I'm doing. But the best thing to do is to be deferent. When someone has authoritative power over us, legal power over us, and has the right to carry a gun legally, maybe I best pay attention and be a little bit more, you know, different and say, I think I'll choose to be passive by saying, yes, sir, officer, I was going too fast. That's why you pulled me over. There is a good time to be passive. That's our point.
As therapists, I'm not always a fan of being the appeasing type. I don't want people to appease because they lose their voice. And
yes,
there's power and self-worth in having a voice and speaking it in an assertive, clear, concise, mature, rational way. But in the state of a very aggressive CHP officer that pulls you over, there's a lot going on in that moment, but the most probably mature or smart decision, maybe, if I'm going to say that word, would be to be appeasing to the officer. If he says, hey, ma'am, you're really testing my patience here, I can say, sir, I'm sorry to be testing your patience, even though I think to myself, well, heck no, I was definitely not.
What you say to yourself is your own business.
I may mutter it to myself, yeah, but I would need to be maybe the passive communicator in this state. So we're going to go through the next example. So when is it appropriate to be, well, let me ask you, is it appropriate ever to have aggressive communication style?
Absolutely. In case of emergency, get out now. Don't stop. Go. That's a fire or whatever.
Yeah. Call 911.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When there's an extreme emergency, but in everyday dialogue with people, it's rarely acceptable to be aggressive because we don't normally get what we want by doing that.
The other very good example of being of placing that aggressive communication into your communicative style is when you need to say no. If you are being attacked, if you're in danger, no, stop, don't touch me, get away. That is very appropriate, obviously.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful book by Gavin De Becker called The Gift of Fear. And he talks a lot about if, for example, women sometimes get abused, hurt, raped, killed, because some gentleman comes up to them and they're helping, you know, getting something out of their trunk. And the guy says, oh, here, I'll help you. And the woman says, no, that's okay, I can do it. And the man says, no, let me help you. At that point, the woman turns around, gets direct eye contact, and in an assertive, non-aggressive voice says, no, thank you very much, but I have it. I got this handled, but thank you. If he remains standing there, say, I'd really prefer you leave. And so you stand your ground. You do not become a victimized target.
No. So aggressive communication style is that domineering state. And usually in intimate relationships or relationships with colleagues or friends, we would say, do not act this way. But there are a time and a place, and it could be emergency or protection. So those are two examples,
yes,
of when to have this style. Now, when is it appropriate to be passive aggressive?
Never.
Never.
Never. Unless you're cruising for a bruising. And somebody, because finally people catch on. They go, oh, yeah, well, that's what mom always says. So we avoid her.
Passive aggressive people alienate themselves.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, when it comes to being assertive, when do we want to have assertive communication?
Almost all the time.
All the time.
And if we're so lucky to do that, that's where we want to be, which means our spirit is animated, focused, our ego is vital, mature. We have our big girl pants on.
So as we come to getting ready for our break, I want you to think about these four styles, and we're going to talk about listening in the next segment. So stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
News. Opinion.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Relation Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guest today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relation Slips.
Welcome back to Relation Slips. We're so happy to hear you as we talk about our topic of communication, when it makes a relationship into a relation slip. Now, did you know the most important type of communication is listening?
Yes.
Listening.
Yes.
Active listening is the most appropriate type of listening that we work on in therapy offices, and we work on it on dates that we have in families or try to have. And that's really being fully in tune with your partner through your body language, your eye contact, your energy state. This is a really important part of the communication process.
As a matter of fact, most therapists, including Lori and myself, actually sit down with couples, and it sounds so dumb at the beginning. People are like, you kidding? You want us to just role play this thing? I know it sounds dumb. I always say, you know, it does sound kind of dumb. But here I want us to practice saying things like, what I'm hearing you say is, and if I've understood you correctly, what you're wanting is clarify. Here in the United States of America, we are known for not taking the time to clarify. We rush through our communiques. Our listening patterns are, as compared to the world standard, pretty doggone low. So we actually have people sit down and practice what we call active listening. How many times have you went to talk to somebody, maybe in their office, and they're working on a piece of paper, and they're looking around, and they're saying, yeah, go ahead, I can hear you. Yeah, go ahead, I'm fine, I hear you. It's like, yes, they do hear me, but they're not listening, and we know that.
Exactly.
So let me clarify how intricate this whole thing is about listening and hearing. First of all, we hear with our ears. The ears, if we're very fortunate, if we're blessed, we can hear, because that's a gift we're given. But all we ever hear is sound, noise. It means nothing until the brain gets a hold of it and then goes, but that noise means that is. So we interpret that. And that's where listening comes in. So I'm going to give you what we call a little listening quiz here. Now, this is not a hearing test. If it were a hearing test, we'd have the audiometer machine. I mean, you heard certain things. You put up your finger and put it down. We're not testing our hearing here. We're looking to see how we listen. Now, when we do this, bear in mind, there's some intricate things going on with the brain. And the brain is doing its very classical thing of classifying everything it's hearing and putting things neatly into compartments. So we'll see how easily we can be thrown off in our communications when we're attempting to listen to what someone's saying. So here we go. If you're driving your automobile, it's okay. You could listen to this, but please don't try to write your answers down, obviously. But then I'll go slowly. Now, as I say each of these four questions or quizzes in a listening quiz, remember, you may answer them all many different ways. You may answer them literally, spiritually, humorously. It doesn't matter how you answer them. So here's the first question. Listen up. Oh, by the way, when we come to the fourth question, I'm going to repeat that. I'm not going to repeat the first three, but the reason I will restate the fourth one is because it's extremely vague, it's extremely etherical, very difficult for people to understand sometimes. So here we go. Question one. Answer to yourself. Do they have a 4th of July in Paris, France? Question number two. Can a man legally marry his widow's sister? Question number three. How many animals of each species did Moses bring on the ark? Okay, now for the fourth and final question. I'm going to repeat it now, so just listen the first time, and then the second time you can formulate your answer. What comes at the end of life and the beginning of eternity? Remember, you may answer these literally, humorously, spiritually, any way you want. The last question again. What comes at the end of life and the beginning of eternity? Okay, let's go back and review quickly. The first quiz, do they have a 4th of July in Paris, France? Now, if the brain, which it normally does, is listening for classifications, 4th of July, what is that?
I would say, yes, of course there's a, or I would say, no, there's not a 4th of July in Paris because that's an American holiday.
And not only that, here's a great one. Sometimes the smarter you are, the worse you are at listening. The smart people go, oh no, they have Bastille Day, for goodness sakes. Which proves that sometimes the more I know, the less I listen. That's so powerful, isn't it? So, do they have a 4th of July? Of course they have one. Do they celebrate? Uh-uh. Not in the 4th of July.
Also known as, they have July 4th on the calendar.
It's a calendar just like any other time.
So really what this is saying is that we are already programmed for what the response would be. We have almost a premeditation going on about what the response should be.
Well, we do, and not only that, but the brain has all these little drawers set aside for certain things. And one drawer in your brain says holidays. And the second you hear 4th of July, that drawer pops out. And up comes all the files you have. Oh, 4th of July, St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving Day, all the stuff comes up. And they're all classified and lumped in together. So the second we think we're talking about a holiday, 4th of July becomes Independence Day in the United States of America.
So really, when we're answering these questions quickly, we have ardent spirit and vigilant ego because we're on guard, we're ready to go, we're ready to answer, we're taking from that drawer of our mind. So what was the second question again, Bobby?
Can a man legally marry his widow's sister?
And I probably would say, yeah.
Yeah, except that the fact that he is a widow means by definition he's no longer with us.
Shucks.
So he won't marry anybody.
Whoops.
Let alone his sister's wife or his sister's, his wife's widow's sister. He can't marry anybody. He's dead.
No, so listening was not on cue there. We were already programmed with our response because we expected.
And here again, it's very difficult to say widow. Is it widow or widower? It's confusing to us. Okay, the third one. How many animals of each species did Moses bring on the ark? Most people say, well, duh, two, no brainer, two of each. Well, simply listen to this. How many animals of each species did Moses, of course, it wasn't Moses, it was Noah. But here again, we anticipate Bible people is in a drawer. So when we hear animals, species, ark, what Bible person pops up? Ta-da! And we can say Moses, 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 and we're hearing and listening for Noah, Noah, Noah. This is a good bar bit, by the way. Go into the bar and do this. Most people are going to say they could have sworn they heard Noah.
Party conversation.
Last one, very difficult, hard, bare, very, very ethereal. What comes at the end of life and the beginning of eternity? Well, of course, the key here is, where does our brain go? The end of life. The beginning of eternity. Where will it all end?
And you think, I'm going to give you some philosophical answer. I have a smart answer for this one. Ready for my philosophy, ready for my spirituality.
Right, going toward the light. Actually, literally, what comes at the beginning of eternity, the end of life and the beginning of eternity is?
The letter E.
The letter E.
That's the literal explanation.
But so, sometimes we can't hear the literal because we're so caught up in how it's all going to end.
Exactly. So to really paraphrase our show today, listening takes conscious awareness.
And intervention
and practice, as does communication. So as we wrap up the show, think about what style of communication do I usually resort to? Passive, passive-aggressive, aggressive, or assertive? And during those states of communication, where is my spirit? Where is my ego? Am I guarded? Am I defensive? Am I depleted of energy? Am I scattered and fragmented? Or am I in that middle state? Focused, spirit, vital, mature, rational ego. So as we wrap up today, please tweet us at O Relationslips, Facebook us, facebook.com, Relationslips Radio Show. We want to hear from you. When do you have these relationship conundrums becoming relationslips?
And keep yourself in that animated and ego-vital state.
Lori Lynn Mann, my co-host Dr. Bobby Sommer, we wish you some happy, merry communication. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Relation Slips. Make sure you join Dr. Bobby Sommer and Lori Lynn Mann for another great show next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This week, turn your relation slip into the relationship that you want.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.